Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Remote Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Green.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power-packed Rema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
The general theology of this particular study on doctrine explores distinct doctrines which are teachings, cultures, conduct, historical narratives given up by God, illustrated in the life of Jesus, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. This theology expresses the righteousness of God and superiority of Christianity, authority of scriptures that unite the current church to the Ancient of Ages, that motivate all the world to conform into the kingdom of our God as a standard of existence. The purpose of studying doctrine is to obtain the knowledge of God, to understand the will of God, which empowers us to exist in the authority of God, resolving to be led by the Spirit of God, as declared in the written Word of God. It is our objective to explore doctrines and the avoided issues presented to every believer when embracing the reality of their Christianity, and offer biblical resolve to the construction of doctrinal snapshots. Tonight we talk about the demand for depth. The demand for death. God has embedded in every man or all of mankind to establish a basis of knowledge to govern their everyday affairs. So doctrine is the express language of our faith used to govern our Christian conduct, commitment, and courageous attempt to exist in constant states of righteousness. It explores the intentions of the will of God instinctively and documenting intellectually, whether by concrete evidence or documentation of heart, what God has designed the realm of our reality to govern. It leaves the greatest impression in our hearts that validates all aspects of what we all believe. Our belief becomes the compass of our actions, thus developing faith and character in mankind. So occasionally reviewing what directs our systems of beliefs that in turn defines our behavior resolves to locating places that are recognized for prioritizing the instituting of beliefs in higher matters of ethics and morals. In modern society, This evaluation of belief has been brought to other platforms outside of the church house and the personal household. The avoidance of such fundamentals, such as elementary doctrines of Christ, transferred to questionable, quote-unquote, newfound winds of morality, which led to erroneous liberality that resists all forms of actual authority and promotes the leading of influential customs and trends versus conformity to the will of God. God possessed the hearts of leaders in the ancients to heed to the voices of the prophets, to fulfill sovereign decrees and to keep the intents of his heart as laws that would govern people. Their willingness to keep their vows to Father God will create perpetual success that will protect their possessions and empower their prevail. We learn throughout countless historical biblical accounts or documentation that as long as they complied, they conquered. But whenever they were slighting their commitment to that which was known to them, it yielded the fruit of devastation. This devastation grew almost perpetual that the voice of God was silent until he allotted a bomb in Gilead, the Lord Jesus, that would have healing in his wings, that would soar above the wind and well the earth again with the will of God manifested. Carried in the womb of Christ, till victory was accomplished over sin was the church, which possessed the authority of God instinctively entrusted with such a better covenant established upon better promises, which would yield again the fruits of righteousness. Conduct then could once again be governed under the tutelage of God. Righteousness would promote the gospel of Christ that would lead men to repentance, a change of mindset that would transform them into the perfect intentions of God's willingness to render his love to humanity. Not only did he send the church out, but he gave his intellectual capabilities, his essence, he, the Holy Spirit, to afford true leadership. The church is to govern, which means that it is through the church's government that reformations, renaissances, and again, true states of righteousness would lead them to sustenance and sustaining reliance upon God to grow, glow, and go throughout the earth. However, to prevent damage among those who were gullible to distortion in development, there would need to be gifts placed within the church to serve as a reminder of the importance of staying within the scheme of God's will. So he gave those gifts objectives and placed them within men and women, which I believe shapes the authority of approaching this subject of doctrine. Refer to me to Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16 for tonight's lesson. It states, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Here we see 10 distinct purposes of those gifts being in operation of the church. And in the midst of those purposes, he gives one purpose to the objective of maturing people from infancy to in Christ to perfection in Christ that prevents them from being carried by every wind of doctrine. It is the declaration of the truth, along with the other facets in the purpose of ministry gifts that leads people to understanding the love of God. So studying doctrine is essential because in doctrine, there is a potential to take places you may have never been designed by God to experience. Allowing Father God to access your life in training your cognitive development, which is the developing mind taking account of actions that stem from beliefs developed over time, will give you an advantage in keeping aligned to God's divine will. At the heartbeat of all doctrine is the order of God. A major component to his order is understanding his will for our lives that gives us the motive to resolving righteousness as a means of existence. So that there can be simplistic approaches to existing in a lifestyle that pleases God. This study asks many questions as possible, posed to God as the means by which we should research, rehearse, and render doctrine toward all that are entrusted with our responsibilities and the gifts of ministry. Given that we are all given to the devotion and the instructions in scriptures, we will clearly esteem the Bible as the greatest source to affirm and reflect doctrines that outline the intentions of God's divine will for our lives and for humanity. In tonight's lesson, we will focus and amplify the purpose and objective of this particular teaching by offering five shaping focuses to develop.
Thank you for tuning in to Remo Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Freeman.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team.
Hello, USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns, host of Spiritually Talk Radio. Coming in quickly, we are having technical difficulties. I pray that you enjoyed the small segment that you heard. I'm going to give the mic over to Elder Breland for a quick moment while we troubleshoot what's going on, and we'll go on with our recording.
Greetings, USWAT listeners. Thank you for listening. And Rhema Remnant Radio listeners, our new program format, of course, you know, when you go through transition, there are often challenges to technological advances. However, we're advancing on and growing further in the Word. I would encourage you for the rest of the year to get a special notebook specifically for this radio broadcast, because I know that the things that are going to be visited on in this type of format, it's going to be done in a systematic way where you can glean and use it as a reference when giving deliberations over the pulpit. This specific broadcast is designed for ministers, and I have focused this year's subjectivity to direct theological discourse, just going straight to school on some of the fundamentals of the faith that I believe will help affirm our confidence in proclaiming uncompromisingly the rightly divided word of truth. And so I am delighted again to be on the air with you tonight, and we do apologize for some of the technical difficulties, but you have to understand with the snow coming on and communicating and getting things in place, it's a very intricate system, and We are expanding and forcing our team to kind of come up with a more collaborative approach to ministering this particular gospel in a format that you can cognitively grasp. So we are still tweaking out some of the kinks, but rest assured that you're going to get the complete message of it. And you can always go on our website and order the series in sets online. One of the things that we are discussing in the development phases of our Enlightenment e-stores, which is our upcoming electronic bookstores, is some of the series projections. And this year, with the in-depth amount of discussion on doctrine, discipline, and discipleship, I think it would behoove us to get as much as we can so you can hear exactly what the Spirit is saying to the church as penned in a study that has been stipulated by the Holy Spirit. So, of course, in 2010, regardless of what happens, we do win. And I don't know about you, already in the first month of the year, we've already completed that, and we're in the first part of February, which you may not know is Urban Glory's literally birthday. We launched out in 1996. And so in 2010, we're still going strong 16 years later, and God is doing greater and more profound things in the lives of all of those who have participated in this ministry. So I want you to stay focused this year. We've had some challenges, but the Lord has delivered us out of them all, and I am grateful to be a part of the body of Christ in this particular dispensation. I would remind you back to the scripture that we gave and the 10 purposes given to the fivefold ministry, I think, must be understood. I do have a teaching already out there on that particular study that you can look at last year when I dealt with the doctrines of confessions and empowering the preacher's prayer life. I think I began the series with reviewing those 10 purposes. But I think for your own benefit, it would behoove you to go back to Ephesians 4 and to look at those 10 purposes and to see if that is evident and imminent in your ministry personally, and then if not, what steps you're taking to accomplish those things. And I think that helps us get a focus, and I believe from now on this program, you're going to see a vivid example of how to go through the scripture and abstract principles and make them applicable for today's modern culture. And one of the things that we highlighted in this particular season is doctrine. It's very important that we as ministers of the gospel understand what doctrine is and how doctrine works and how to properly convey it. And if there's a such thing as false doctrine and there's a such thing as sound doctrine, it would behoove all of us to know what type of doctrine we are emitting out of our mouths, because with our words we're justified. And even with our words, we are condemned. It's important that we begin to learn to take God's word as final authority. And you'll hear me say that throughout this particular season. And when we do so, you're going to see great changes occur in your life. Amen? So I'm going to get back onto the program, and we're going to get back into the study where we picked up off, left up off at, and we're going to go straight back in there. So get your notebooks out and get ready to pin down some five focuses for entering into the doctrine series. So just stay tuned to the Word of God. Amen? Here we go.
Going further means exploring methods
which God grants access to. It also means that there should be a strong sense of fellowship between mankind and God before endeavoring to extract knowledge from God. You must always possess access through covenant. And then as a result of establishing a covenant with God, you have access to what is precious to him through the knowledge he allots and demands. And it always results in modifications in behavior that stem from this divine illumination. So divine illumination alone will create a strong sense of true inspiration. Secondly, we must begin this process of educating the soul to understand the will of God. Whenever I come to the terms with discussing the soul, of course, you know I've done an in-depth study on being found in the soul, I always bring emphasis to how often people confuse soul conclusion with the spiritual voice. And we must develop clear distinctions between what we hear from God versus what we thought about God, because often that gets distorted. Schooling the soul means understanding how your soul works and how it learns. This is what prayer with God, when it is effectuated with his responses, intend to reveal. Knowledge of state and knowledge of resolve. So God wants us to work through understanding these factors. And in doing so, the will of God is expressed and classified. First, in what has been written and preserved throughout historical accounts and scriptures. And then once thought versed in comprehension of those scriptures, the Holy Spirit will allot illumination that forms revelation of intent for this content. And that is what we all want to achieve, understanding the will of God. So it costs all you have in all you're getting, get an understanding. Thirdly, in educating the soul to understand the will of God, then we must go further to emphasizing the empowerment of existence in the authority of God. Existing in the authority of God is the simple resolve to obey, comply, and adhere to what you know God wants accomplished coming. And coming to this resolve is completely just trusting God. Authority is not influencing only. It is a given dominant factor regardless of whether you influence it or not. So all we have that is concrete of the authority of God is the written word of God. That's why we resort everything to scripture, including all forms of our doctrine. If you have a question or have to question whether or not you are in authority or out of authority, it clearly indicates the state of your authority. Lack of understanding never produces understanding of authority. So therefore, if there's a question to authority, you're 9 times out of 10 out of authority. Often authority is confused with compliance, but authority is deeper than that. It is taking to self one of God's greatest attributes, doing everything in decency and in order. So fourthly, when emphasizing the empowerment of existing in the authority of God, we will equip the mind to resolve to be led exclusively by the Spirit of God. It's the equipping of the mind to deadening selfish ambition first, and invoking God to enable you to perform in his order by his guiding assistance that creates this resolve. Giving proper place to the Spirit must always be esteemed in the heart of those who carry a greater covenant. Training the mind is established in hearing a response to the voice of God, which really can't be done until you observe the scripture as being truly possible. So the mind is a communicative device, as you've heard me say often throughout this teaching time, that dictates to the body what it has heard from the source. When you understand the voices of sources versus perspectives and presumptive opinions, the distinction between the Holy Spirit and natural perception becomes ever clearer. Fifthly, from equipping the mind to resolving to be led by the Spirit of God, we are enforcing discipline to the body to live by what is declared in the written word of God. Because if you cannot adhere to what is written, you will not be able to adhere to what is perceived. Living or conducting yourself by what is declared is simply aiming all of your affairs to achieving a known promise or passage of Scripture that results in pleasing God. So meditation upon the Word of God is the activating steps to achieving divine discipline. Prayer, again, gives God the right to involve himself in the affairs of your life legally, which in turn gives the voice of his Spirit the ability to direct your physical steps. Then, this word, which is so key, confession, not only in its sense of speaking, but in its reference to establishing conduct for your life patterns, will be based on biblical laws and practice. And it establishes the final authority of God's word in your life. In the successive lessons, we will not only capture this in known doctrine, but give practical suggestions to how we can implement this in our lives and the lives of others biblically. And I want to conclude tonight's lesson by giving you 24 cut and dry questions that will shape the construction of the rest of this study. Number one, what is doctrine? Number two, is doctrine important to God? Number three, does doctrine have anything to do with my salvation? Number four, how deep should I go into doctrine? Number five, is the study of teaching doctrine too religious? Number six, do all doctrine apply to the church? Number seven, does doctrine define my relationship with God? Number eight, have I really sat down and been taught doctrine? Number nine, does doctrine define my relationship with others? Number 10, is there a difference between sound doctrine and regular doctrine? Number 11, what does doctrine really bring to me? Is it important? Is it really important? Number 12, is doctrine and theology the same? Number 13, does doctrine define all beliefs? Number 14, is the church established upon doctrine solely? Number 15, am I capable of teaching others doctrine? Number 16, what happens when I reject doctrine? Number 17, as a minister, is it important for me to openly reveal doctrines? Number 18, how can I ensure I am teaching the right doctrine? Number 19, what do I do when I don't fully understand the doctrine and I am in leadership? Number 20, what should I do if questions I find with doctrines are not accepted by the fellowship of my counterparts? Number 21, how should I react and respond when someone has questions and concerns about my doctrine? Number 22, how should I properly minister doctrine when given advice? Number 23, what if I find in the aftermath that my doctrine is not normal? Number 24, how important is doctrine to personal household? These questions and more will be answered in the successive lessons. And so tonight, I pray that you understand the importance of establishing doctrine, which is, again, to obtain the knowledge of God and understand the will of God, which empowers us to live under and exist in the authority of God, resolving to be led by the Spirit of God, which adheres to the declared written word of God. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that lives within you than he that is within the world. This is Yvonne Breland. Thank you for listening to tonight's lesson. The general theology of this particular... The general theology of this particular study on doctrine explores distinct doctrines, which are teaching, cultures, conduct, historical narratives given up by God, illustrated in the life of Jesus, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. This theology expresses the righteousness of God and superiority of Christianity, authority of Scripture that unites the current church to the Ancient of Ages, that motivates all the world to conform it to the kingdom of our God as a standard of existence. The purpose of studying doctrine is to obtain the knowledge of God, to understand the will of God, which empowers us to exist in the authority of God, resolving to be led by the Spirit of God, as declared in the written word of God. It is our objective to explore doctrine and the avoided issues presented to every believer when embracing the reality of their Christianity, and offer biblical resolve for the construction of doctrinal snapshots. Tonight we talk about the demand for death. The demand for death. God has been in every man, for all of mankind, to establish a basis of knowledge to govern their everyday affairs. So doctrine is the express language of our faith used to govern our Christian conduct, commitment, and courageous attempt to exist in constant states of righteousness. It explores the intentions of the will of God instinctively, and documenting intellectually, whether by concrete evidence or documentation of heart, what God has designed the realm of our reality to govern. It leaves the greatest impression in our hearts that validates all aspects of what we all believe. Our belief becomes the compass of our actions, thus developing faith and character in mankind. So occasionally reviewing what directs our systems of belief, that in turn defines our behavior, resolves to locating places that are recognized for prioritizing the instituting of belief in higher matters of ethics and morals. In modern society, this evaluation of belief has been brought to other platforms outside of the church house and the personal household. The avoidance of such fundamentals, such as elementary doctrines of Christ, transferred to questionable, quote-unquote, newfound winds of morality, which led to erroneous liberality that resists all forms of actual authority and promotes the leading of influential customs and trends versus conformity to the will of God. God possessed the hearts of leaders in the ancients to heed to the voices of the prophets, to fulfill sovereign decrees and to keep the intents of his heart as laws that would govern people. Their willingness to keep their vows to follow God would create perpetual success that will protect their possessions and empower their prevail. We learn throughout countless historical biblical accounts or documentation that as long as they complied, they conquered. But whenever they were slighting their commitment to that which was known to them, it yielded the fruit of devastation. This devastation grew almost perpetual, that the voice of God was silent until he allotted a bomb in Gilead, the Lord Jesus, that would have healing in his wings, that would soar above the wind and well the earth again with the will of God manifested. Carried in the womb of Christ, till victory was accomplished over sin was the church, which possessed the authority of God instinctively, entrusted with such a better covenant established upon better promises, which would yield again the fruits of righteousness. Conduct then could once again be governed under the tutelage of God. Righteousness would promote the gospel of Christ that would lead men to repentance, a change of mindset that would transform them into the perfect intention of God's willingness to render his love to humanity. Not only did he send the church out, but he gave his intellectual capability, his essence, he, the Holy Spirit, to afford true leadership. The church is to govern, which means that it is through the church's government that Reformation, Renaissance, and again, true states of righteousness will lead them to sustenance and sustaining reliance upon God to grow, glow, and go throughout the earth. However, to prevent damage among those who were gullible to distortion in development, there would need to be gifts placed within the church to serve as a reminder of the importance of staying within the scheme of God's will. So he gave those gifts objectives and placed them within men and women, which I believe shapes the authority of approaching this subject of doctrine. Refer to me to Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16 for tonight's lesson. It states, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the flight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Here we see 10 distinct purposes of those gifts being in operation of the church. And in the midst of those purposes, he gives one purpose to the objective of maturing people from infancy to in Christ to perfection in Christ that prevents them from being carried by every wind of doctrine. It is the declaration of the truth, along with the other facets in the purpose of ministry gifts that leads people to understanding the love of God. So studying doctrine is essential because in doctrine there is a potential to take places you may have never been desired by God to experience. Allowing Father God to access your life in training your cognitive development, which is the developing mind taking account of actions that stem from beliefs developed over time, will give you an advantage in keeping aligned to God's divine will. At the heartbeat of all doctrine is the order of God. A major component to his order is understanding his will for our lives that gives us the motive to resolving righteousness as a means of existence. So that there can be simplistic approaches to existing in a lifestyle that pleases God. This study asks many questions as possible, posed to God as the means by which we should research, rehearse, and render doctrine toward all that are entrusted with our responsibilities in the gift of ministry. Given that we are all given to the devotion and the instruction in Scripture, we will clearly esteem the Bible as the greatest source to affirm and reflect doctrine that outlines the intentions of God's divine will for our lives and for humanity. In tonight's lesson, we will focus and amplify the purpose and objective of this particular teaching by offering 5 shaping focuses to developing dynamic doctrine. Number 1, we need to establish this by establishing focus to obtain the knowledge of God. We must develop the focus in mind to go after the knowledge of God due to the essential notion that God has things for us to know. Only he can reveal, which indicates that there are things that can be achieved through mere inserting deductive and inductive reasoning. We must go further into the intentions of God. So going further means exploring methods which God grants access to. It also means that there should be a strong sense of fellowship between mankind and God before endeavoring to abstract knowledge from God. You must always possess access through covenant. And then as a result of establishing a covenant with God, you have access to what is precious to him through the knowledge he allots and demands. And it always results in modifications in behavior that stem from this divine illumination. So divine illumination alone will create a strong sense of true inspiration. Secondly, we must begin this process of educating the soul to understand the will of God. Whenever I come to the terms with discussing the soul, of course, you know I've done an in-depth study on being found in the soul. I always bring emphasis to how often people confuse soul conclusion with the spiritual voice. And we must develop clear distinctions between what we hear from God versus what we thought about God, because often that gets distorted. Schooling the soul means understanding how your soul works and how it learns. This is what prayer with God, when it is effectuated with his responses, intends to reveal. Knowledge of state and knowledge of resolve. So God wants us to work through understanding these factors. And in doing so, the will of God is expressed and classified. First, in what has been written and preserved throughout historical accounts and scriptures. And then once well-versed and comprehensive of those scriptures, the Holy Spirit will allot illumination that forms revelation of intent for this content. And that is what we all want to achieve, understanding the will of God. So it costs all you have, and all you're getting, get an understanding. Thirdly, in educating the soul to understand the will of God, then we must go further to emphasize the empowerment of existing in the authority of God. Existing in the authority of God is the simple resolve to obey, comply, and adhere to what you know God wants accomplished coming. And coming to this resolve is completely just trusting God. Authority is not influencing only. It is a given dominant factor regardless of whether you influence it or not. So all we have that is concrete of the authority of God is the written word of God. That's why we resort everything to Scripture, including all forms of our doctrine. If you have a question or have to question whether or not you are in authority or out of authority, it clearly indicates the state of your authority. Lack of understanding never produces understanding of authority. So therefore, if there's a question to authority, you're 9 times out of 10 out of authority. Often authority is confused with compliance, but authority is deeper than that. It is taking to self one of God's greatest attributes, doing everything in decency and in order. So fourthly, when emphasizing the empowerment of existing in the authority of God, we will equip the mind to resolve to be led by the Spirit of God. It's the equipping of the mind to deadening selfish ambition first and invoking God to enable you to perform in his order by his guiding assistance that creates this resolve. Giving proper place to the Spirit must always be esteemed in the heart of those who carry a greater covenant. Training the mind is established in hearing a response to the voice of God, which really can't be done until you observe the scriptures as being truly possible. So the mind is a communicative device, as you've heard me say often throughout the teaching time, that dictates to the body what it has heard from the source. When you understand the voices of sources versus perspective and presumptive opinion, the distinction between the Holy Spirit and natural perception becomes ever clearer. Fifthly, from equipping the mind to resolving to be led by the Spirit of God, we are enforcing discipline to the body to live by what is declared in the written word of God. Because if you cannot adhere to what is written, you will not be able to adhere to what is perceived. Living or conducting yourself by what is declared is simply aiming all of your affairs to achieve a known promise or passage of scripture that results in pleasing God. So meditation upon the word of God is the activating steps to achieving divine discipline. Prayer again gives God the right to involve himself in the affairs of your life legally, which in turn gives the voice of his Spirit the ability to direct your physical steps. Then this word, which is located, confession, not only in its sense of speaking, but in its reference to establishing conduct for your life pattern, will be based on biblical laws and practice, and it establishes the final authority of God's word in your life. In the successive lessons, we will not only capture this in known doctrine, but give practical suggestions to how we can implement this in our lives and the lives of others biblically. And I want to conclude tonight's lesson by giving you 24 cut and dry questions that will shape the construction of the rest of this study. Number one, what is doctrine? Number two, is doctrine important to God? Number three, does doctrine have anything to do with my salvation? Number four, how deep should I go into doctrine? Number five, is the study of teaching doctrine too religious? Number six, do all doctrine apply to the church? Number seven, does doctrine define my relationship with God? Number eight, have I really sat down and been taught doctrine? Number nine, does doctrine define my relationship with others? Number 10, is there a difference between sound doctrine and regular doctrine? Number 11, what does doctrine really bring to me? Is it important? Is it really important? Number 12, is doctrine and theology the same? Number 13, does doctrine define all beliefs? Number 14, is the church established upon doctrine solely? Number 15, am I capable of teaching others doctrine? Number 16, what happens when I reject doctrine? Number 17, as a minister, is it important for me to openly reveal doctrine? Number 18, how can I ensure I am teaching the right doctrine? Number 19, what do I do when I don't fully understand the doctrine and I am in leadership? Number 20, what should I do if questions I find with doctrines are not accepted by the fellowship of my counterparts? Number 21, how should I react and respond when someone has questions and concerns about my doctrine? Number 22, how should I properly minister doctrine when given advice? Number 23, what if I find in the aftermath that my doctrine is not normal? Number 24, how important is doctrine to personal household? These questions and more will be answered is a successive lesson. And so tonight, I pray that you understand the importance of establishing doctrine, which is, again, to obtain the knowledge of God and understand the will of God, which empowers us to live under and exist in the authority of God, resolving to be led by the Spirit of God, which adheres to the declared written words of God. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do. Because greater is he that lives within you than he that is within the world. This is LaVon Breland. Thank you for listening to tonight's lesson. The general theology of this